Welcome to the November 25th, 2007 morning worship service of College Park Baptist Church. Today's message is presented by our pastor, Reverend Raymond Smith, and is entitled, How Do We Hold It Together? If you are in Winston-Salem, please join us for worship and fellowship at 1701 Polo Road. You can find out more about our church at www.collegeparkbaptist.org. And now for our worship service.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, y'all have eaten way too much turkey. You're sleeping this morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
Very good. We welcome you to College Park Baptist Church. We are so pleased that you are here for worship this day. We'd like to find out exactly who's here. We have pew pads on the inside aisle of every pew. We would like for members and guests alike, if you could sign your name and check the appropriate boxes to let us know that you were here. Members, this is a way that if you have any change in contact information, you can let us know. Guests, if you can give us your information as you feel comfortable, we would appreciate that. If you send it down to the end of the pew, so everybody has a chance to sign it, and then when it gets to the end, if you could return it back to where it started, and then we ask the first person if you could just rip out the pages that were used today so our ushers can get those at the end of the service, that would be great. Several announcements I'll make as we get started this morning. A regular schedule this week. Everything's normal today. We are having our live service, which is our contemporary service tonight in Smith Hall at 7 o'clock. I want you to come to be a part of that. Today during worship, we are having children's time right down here, so I want all the children to come and to join me. Let's see, what else? There are kids packs available. We have, for the last several weeks, our family in Richmond and our children's councils have provided worship bulletins for children. There is for younger children and older children. They are available both at the back of the sanctuary as well as you come in right outside the children's area. There are packets with crayons and things as well as a bulletin that goes with activities that go with the message for today. So if you have not picked one of those up, please do so. Those will be available every week and a great ministry opportunity for the kids to be involved in worship. So I want you to make note of that. We are having a special information session for those who are going to spring break. Our youth are headed to the Bahamas on a spring break mission trip. That will be later in April. We are going to have a meeting this Wednesday night at 6:45 during youth missions down in the youth room. And that meeting is for all youth who are going, their parents, and any chaperones who are going as well. So we hope we've got lots of things that are coming up, including if you've come into the church today, you saw several, hopefully you saw several posters that looked like this. The trip to the Bahamas is going to be a pretty expensive trip, and we're trying to raise some funds to do that. We are having a barbecue dinner here at College Park on December 15th. Tickets are $8 or $6 for kids 12 and under. And so there will be a full barbecue dinner with all the fixings, drinks, and desserts. We want you to invite your neighbors and your friends to be a part of that. Help us raise some money on December 15th from 11 to 3 in Smith Hall. There is delivery options available. We'll bring it to you if you can't get time off work or whatever. That will be, I think that's all I need to say about that. I think that's it. Yeah, that's going to be a big day, December 15th. So if you can help us. Oh, I know what it was. Out of the Welcome Center desk, we have posters that we would like for you to take. If you are in a business and with a lot of traffic, we would like for you to take these posters and put them up so that people can see them. If you know somewhere to put them, we'd love for you to get some help at getting these posters out so we can get the word out about that. So we appreciate you doing that for us. Our Hoops for Him basketball season is starting this Saturday for three of our teams. The games begin this Saturday, December 1st. The girls will start the next week, so it's basketball season. And we are excited about the teams that we have playing, and schedules are available for handout, or you can go to hoopsforhim.org and find the schedule on there. So two other announcements. Cookbooks are going to be available for purchase today after church. So if you can make sure that you come and grab those cookbooks and pay for a box. I mean, we'll even give discounts for boxes, wouldn't we? No. Okay, no discount for boxes. We'll deliver them to your car. Okay, that's the best deal we can do. That's a pretty good deal. So those cookbooks will be available for purchase, and all the funds that go for that will go to children's ministry. So we appreciate you being a part of that. The PMBA Parade of Toys is Sunday, December the 2nd, from 6 to 8 p.m. Children ages 6 to 11 are invited to come. They are needed to help bring toys from the PMBA attic down to the basement so we can get those delivered. There will be a pizza party for those who are able to come. If you are able to help with that, if you let me know or let Miss Georgie Kitchen know, that would be great. I think that's all the announcements. No, there's one more. I just wrote it down. Yes, next week we're having a special life service. They're special every week, but especially next Sunday at 7 o'clock we're having a Christmas concert by Cindy Johnson and her esteemed band or instrument players. And we want you to come and be a part of that next Sunday night at 7 p.m. in Smith Hall. That is a Christmas concert for the life service. I think that is all the announcements. We do have some ushers that are coming down the aisles now. If you're a guest with us, we would like for you to raise your hand this morning. Let our ushers see you and give you a packet of information. You have already given us your information on the pew pads. We'd like for you to raise your hand, take this packet of information. If you're a guest with us, inside this packet is a letter from our pastor, as well as newsletter, things are going on currently in the life of our church, as well as the story of College Park. So we appreciate you being with us in worship this day. We do begin our time together in worship with a responsive reading. This morning comes from Psalm 62, selected verses from that psalm. You will find this responsive reading in your bulletin. And I invite you to stand now for invitation to share in worship. I invite you to read the dark print aloud as I read the light print. Find rest, O my soul, in God alone. My hope comes from Him.
He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken. My salvation and my honor depend on God. He is my mighty rock, my refuge.
One thing God has spoken, two things have I heard, that you, O God, are strong, and that you, O Lord, are loving. Surely you will reward each person according to what he has done. Amen. You may be seated. Will you pray with me? Father, in the stillness of this moment, we have come to worship. Sometimes, Father, worship can become routine. Father, when we let other things in our lives come between us and you, we can just kind of come into this place and just kind of do what we always do. Father, remind us today that you are a God who is eternal and strong. A God who provides mercy and grace and forgiveness and salvation. And if we came to worship you because of those things, worship would never become routine. Because your mercies are new every day. You continue to give and to give and to give. Father, help us this day to truly be thankful. That with everything that we say, everything that we do, everything that's done in this hour of worship, let our gratitude be seen. Let our praise and worship of you come from everything we have within us. Let this time of worship not be routine. Let everything that's done be done to glorify and praise your name. And that when we leave this place, we will have been changed because your Spirit came down and changed us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Graders, if y'all are here, especially I need y'all's help. Can y'all come on down? Come on, have a seat. I need everybody. Come on. Oh. Wow. All right. How is everybody? Come on in. Come on in. All right. I still got some more coming. All right. Did everybody have a good Thanksgiving? Yeah, did you have leftovers like turkey sandwiches and stuff? And they were good. Yeah, okay. Hey, I need some help. It is over. Let's see. Who will hold? Will you hold that for me? Okay. Let's see. Would you hold that for me? All right, I got to be real careful about this one. Okay, Davis. All right, you're a State fan, so you know don't be messing with that rubber band. Let's see. Who can hold this for me? All right. Give that. And here you go, Christian. You can hold this. All right. Now, everybody kind of just carefully hold them over your head so that everybody gets a chance to see what they are. Okay. What? All right, we got a little tape thing here. We got a stapler. We got a rubber band. We got a bolt. And we got some bungee thing. What do all those things have in common? They can hold things together. Now, what are some other things? Like, what would the tape hold together?
A crack in something,
yeah. Mountain Outreach House is perfect thing for tape. All right. Let me take that. All right. What would the stapler hold together? Paper. All right. Let me see that. What would a rubber band hold together? Okay. Newspaper. We sometimes see those on newspapers. Keep the pencils too. Let's see, Christian. What about the bungee thing? What does that hold? It holds church signs out front of College Park Baptist Church up so that everybody can see what's going on. Let me see that. Okay. Now, what does this hold? What does a bolt hold together?
Wood.
It can't hold wood. What are some other things that hold things together?
Glue.
What is super glue? Yeah, glue and super glue. Christian, what do you think?
Nails.
Very good. Any other ideas? Yep, screws. All those things are designed to hold things together. Well, let me ask you a question. What holds us together?
God.
Okay, what does God do?
Okay.
Now, why did Jesus die for us? He wanted to save us from our sins. He loved us so much. Now, I want you to think about that word love. Now, if we didn't have love, would it kind of be hard to stick together? If you didn't love your mom, your dad, your brother, your sister, that whole thing, love, that holds us together pretty good, doesn't it? Because sometimes we can get on each other's nerves, right? Especially around Thanksgiving, and you got all these people jammed in your house, and it's kind of tough. And you know, that love, if we didn't love each other, we couldn't be held together. But God, the scripture tells us God is love. And that Jesus went to the cross because he loved us, to keep us together. You're going to hear Pastor Raymond in a little while talk about how Jesus holds us together, just like a stapler does. Jesus holds us together with his love. All right, that's something we can be thankful for this week. Okay? Will you pray with me? Father, we thank you for this day and the opportunity to be together and here for worship. And I thank you for these children. And I thank you for their honesty and their spirit and their energy. And Father, you can see the love that they have for you in their eyes. And we thank you for that love that you give to all of us that holds us together as people who believe in Jesus Christ. We need that being together so much. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. You can go back to your seats now.
For our scripture reading as part of worship this morning, we'll be reading first from the Old Testament in the book of Jeremiah, the 23rd chapter of Jeremiah, beginning in verse 1. "Woe to the shepherds who are destroying and scattering the sheep of my pasture, declares the Lord. Therefore, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says to the shepherds who tend my people. Because you have scattered my flock and driven them away and have not bestowed care on them, I will bestow punishment on you for the evil you have done, declares the Lord. I myself will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the countries where I have driven them and will bring them back to their pasture, where they will be fruitful and increase in number. I will place shepherds over them who will tend them, and they will no longer be afraid or terrified, nor will any be missing, declares the Lord. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up to David a righteous branch, a king who will reign wisely and do what is just and right in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved, and Israel will live in safety. This is the name by which he will be called, the Lord our righteousness." And from the New Testament, in Luke's Gospel, also in the 23rd chapter, beginning at verse 33, from the text regarding Jesus' crucifixion. "When they came to the place called the Skull, there they crucified him along with the criminals, one on his right and the other on his left. Jesus said, 'Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing.' and they divided up his clothes by casting lots. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, "He saved others. Let him save himself if he is the Christ of God, the chosen one." The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine vinegar and said, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." There was a written notice above him which read, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God," he said, "since you are under the same sentence? We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus answered him, "I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise." May God add his blessing to the reading of his holy word. Will you pray with me? Dear Lord, thank you for the blessings of the last few days as we've experienced Thanksgiving and time with family and friends, time to relax and rejuvenate ourselves a little bit, Lord, from our busy schedules. As we've been reminded over the last few days and the last week of all the blessings that you have bestowed upon us, some that are tangible, some that are not tangible, some that we recount often and some that we rarely, if ever, recount. Lord, help us to always be reminded of your presence in our lives, which is such a great gift. Your promise to love us and to be present with us, to hold us together when we can't do it ourselves. Lord, as we count our own blessings and try to take the spirit of Thanksgiving with us into this week, in the coming days, the Advent season, Christmas, Lord, help us to be a little more mindful of the needs around us, of the ways that we can minister to others, the ways that we can spread your love and share it with others who may not know you or may be far away from you and need to experience the presence that you promised them as well. Lord, not only help us to see the need, but help us to understand how to meet the need and understand what can we do in your name to help someone. What can we do to serve others in your name? Help us to see that, Lord. And most of all, help us to be encouraging. Lord, help us to think about what you have done for us, what others have done for us. Think about those people in our lives that really lift us up and affirm us and encourage us. And help us to take that same spirit and share it with other people so that we may encourage them and lift them up to help them feel better about what they're going through and to know that someone else cares and, most importantly, that God cares and that he will watch over me. Lord, use us, keep us, help us to minister to our brothers and sisters and our neighbors and our coworkers and everyone that we come in contact with. Help us to be vessels for you to share your love. It's in your Son's name that we pray. Amen.
Pray with me. Father, the hymn says, with numberless blessings each moment he feels. I thank you for people like Fanny Crosby who penned the words to the hymns that mean so much to us. We need to stop and think about the moments that are filled with numberless blessings, and all the things that you do for us. This season of Thanksgiving, help us to know that Thanksgiving is not just a name for a holiday, but that it's an attitude, a lifestyle of giving thanks for all the things that we have. We have so much abundance that we just don't even stop to realize as the days go by. It's the time now that we come to bring back a part of that to you, to give back out of our abundance. And we pray that you will help us to do that with the attitude that we should have. We pray that you'll bless us and help us to go our way with the attitude of thanks. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Advent is one of my favorite times of the year. I enjoy it immensely, but I am also very grateful on these years where the first Sunday of Advent is not the Sunday following Thanksgiving. It's good for us to have a chance to stop and reflect, to dwell in the moment of Thanksgiving, the days of Thanksgiving. And so this morning, we're going to continue on that theme of thankfulness, and specifically, as you've already heard from the children's time, talking about how do we hold it all together? Who holds it together? And this morning, we're going to read from the book of Colossians. The passage that you have written or typed in the bulletin is actually, I'm going to extend it a little bit. As we were looking at the sermon today, we want to back up. And we want to include verses 3, beginning in verse 3. So let's back up there. Colossians, for many of you, you'll recognize as the home of some of the longest run-on sentences in Scripture. And indeed it is. And we'll get to one of those in this passage. But beginning in verse 3, it says, "We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all of the saints, the faith and love that springs from the hope that is stored up for you in heaven and that you've already heard about in the word of truth, the gospel that has come to you. All over the world, this gospel is bearing fruit and growing, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and understood God's grace in all its truth. You learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, and who also told us of your love in the Spirit. For this reason,
Since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of His will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. For He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son that He loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by Him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by Him and for Him. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. And He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning of the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything He might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all of His fullness dwell in Him, and through Him to reconcile to Himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through His blood shed on the cross. Let's pray together. Dear Father, we thank You for Your word, how it's alive, how it's relevant. Father, how it gives us insights into who we are, but more importantly, how it gives us insight into who You are. Father, help us to understand the nature of who You are and how we can relate to You. Be with us now as we study Your word, and we pray that You would give us insight and wisdom. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Last spring, I think it was about March or April, the U.S. Department of Agriculture released a study about honeybees that created quite a buzz. And in the process of all of that, they told about honeybees that were dying off by the millions. They even came up with a name for it. The name that they created was Colony Collapse Disorder. Isn't it interesting how we put human names on everything? But and for some of you may say, okay, you know, what's the big deal? A few honeybees dying off, the pesky little things, anything that stings, I'm in favor of it dying off. But that's not the important thing. First of all, honeybees really don't come after you to sting. They're not like yellow jackets and those other nasty little bees. They actually have a good function. All bees do. Don't get me wrong. All of creation, all God's creation. I understand that. But bees, you think about, what do they do? What's the big deal? Well, this little thing called pollination, you know, and how it relates to crops. And, you know, crops for us equals what? Food. Yeah. Thank you, Quiet. Food. If you don't have crops, you don't have food. So what's the big deal about a few honeybees dying off? A few million honeybees dying off? Actually, they said 70 to 90% of them dying off in some regions. That's a big deal. That's a really big deal. What's the cause of it? Well, they speculated. The report speculated on many things. Anything from, it's all those cell phones out there. The radiation from the cell phone and all the new wireless devices. And it's kind of interesting if you read that report. Some will talk about it and others kind of allude to it. But one of the things they talk about is the fact that honeybees had this built-in kind of homing device. And they know how to get, they can fly all over the place, but they know how to get back to their home. And if all this microwave interference and radiation and everything is confusing them. And so they can't get back to home. They can't get back to the center of their universe. And so they die away from home. There's other theories and related to drought and other weather cycles and everything else. But you know, the fact is it's going on. And for me, I was stricken by this quote from a guy who I think was pretty smart. A fellow named Albert Einstein. I think the guy was pretty bright. And he said this: if the bee disappears off the surface of the globe, then man will only have 4 years of life left. Now, Albert's a pretty smart guy. He understood pollination. He understood the function of bees. And if you just read this thing, it'd be pretty scary. And you think, you know, what a delicate balance it is in creation. What a delicate balance there is between humanity existing in the created order. Who holds it all together? A fellow named Gregory Bateson, who is a known anthropologist, in his book called Mind and Nature, he phrased the question this way. He said, what pattern connects the crab to the lobster and the orchid to the primrose and all four of them to me and me to you? And we have a ladybug that's joined us on the pulpit. It's kind of appropriate. Fly away, fly away. It's not flying away. What holds all of this in balance? This ladybug to me, what does it? Well, this hymn, as we've quoted and read from Colossians, I think it gives us the answer. What holds this ladybug to me? What holds all of this created order together? Paul, as he's writing the church at Colossae, says, Christ does. Christ does. Verse 17, very simply, he said, in him all things hold together. Christ is the one who was in creation. Christ is the one from the very beginning who knew us as we came into being. Even at the cellular level of our existence, Christ knows us and holds us together. Now, our world can get kind of crazy. Granted, we have text messaging, we have voicemail, we have PDAs, we have all of this stuff. And in the midst of all of that, we can become very busy. This time of year, going into Christmas, you know, psychiatrists tell us it's the busiest time, it's one of the most stressful times of the year. And as we're on the run, and as we're stressed out, we need to be reminded that there is a center. There is a center. There's something that holds all of this together. And we can rest in that ultimate reality. We can find rest in the center. You know, as you look at this passage here and elsewhere in the New Testament, we come face to face with the cosmic nature of Christ, who he really is. And we have to understand that there's more to salvation than just individual choice. Because God made a choice in Christ for all of creation. Look at verse 20 again. Through him, him being Christ, through him God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of his cross. You see, the cross, as Jason alluded to a little earlier, the cross produces cosmic peace. It's about Jesus and the nature of his sacrifice, because through him God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things. Now, do we see this peace? If you went shopping on Thursday, did you see that peace? Do we see it in our own lives? Do we see it even on the level of creation? Not yet. Not yet. Paul said in Romans 8, verse 20 and 21, he said, creation waits with eager longing in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to decay and will obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. So we're waiting. So just as we wait for God to bring all of this together, to bring all things together, creation, Scripture says, also waits for final fulfillment. Christ's work, Christ's rule, Christ's reign all have to do with the created order. Now, for those of you that are aware of the liturgical church calendar, you are probably aware that today is the reign of Christ Sunday. For others of you, you may not be aware of that. Now you are. Reign of Christ Sunday. That's what this Sunday is labeled in the liturgical year. But it's appropriate, I think, for us to affirm Christ's leadership and lordship on a day like today. It's following Thanksgiving. Have you ever wondered, for those people who don't believe in God, who are they thankful to? They're thankful for what? And to whom? For what? The reign of Christ Sunday. These words in Colossians may seem a little far-fetched to you. They may not connect exactly to you. You may be sitting there saying, what does this really have to do with me? Well, a New Testament scholar named Christer Stendahl has suggested this. He said, our age and that age of the first century, when the book to Colossians was written, have more in common than we might think. Both times can be characterized as cosmically scared, frightened ages, caught under principalities and powers where tiny little human beings just know that they don't have much control. They cannot do much. They're just caught. So in the time that Paul wrote this letter to the Colossians, people were dealing with their anxieties with ideas of various cosmic beings and kind of angelic beings. And some people in Colossae were tempted to think of Christ as just one of many deities, just one of many lords in their life. Does that sound familiar, vaguely? One of many gods. The hymn that's contained in the letter itself that we've read was written to exalt Christ above all others, and was written to exalt Christ as the one and only. And that may seem, well, of course I know that, preacher. I know all about that. But what about our anxieties? That's how they were dealing with theirs. What about our anxieties? You know, there's certainly a plenty in our culture. Young people, there's plenty of anxiety in school. Adults, there's plenty of anxiety in the workplace. College students, good to see you home. You're looking good. You'll know what anxiety is here in a couple of weeks. You'll understand that firsthand, what anxiety is. So how do we deal with that? You know, we may be tempted toward the same heresy that was going on when Paul wrote this letter. And that is, we may be tempted to think of Christ as one of several, or perhaps one of many lords in our own lives. You know, who are the lords of our day? Who are the gods that we serve? Who are our kings? Who do we take our prompts from, I guess is the best way to put that. Is it your boss at work? Is it your teacher at school? Is it your coach? You know, is it your children's schedule? Is it a sports schedule? Is it a school schedule? Is it your bank account that's your lord, whether it's small or large? Who is the lord of our life? Who reigns over us? Is it the one in whom all things hold together? All things. That phrase is repeated over and over. All things hold together in Christ. In fact, whether we acknowledge it or not, understand this very clearly. Whether we acknowledge it or not, Christ reigns over all things. The choice to acknowledge it is ours. It doesn't, whether we accept it does not change the fact that he reigns over everything. And yet, as I read these words, as I read these words in preparation for this morning, as I read them a few minutes ago, I'm tempted to kind of pull back and understand really what it means if Christ is the center of everything that we do and everything that we are. Because our being, our very being, was formed by him. I don't know if you've ever read any of the writings of Dr. Gerald May. He passed away a couple years ago, but he was a very well-known writer in regard to psychology and spirituality and the connection between our mind and our spirit and how those relate together. And in one of his books called The Awakened Heart, he writes about the fact that as a child, he had all these images of Jesus that were presented to him in Sunday school. You know, maybe it was the picture on the wall of the blonde-haired, blue-eyed Jesus in a long white robe, you know? Or maybe it was him gathered there with the children all around him. Jesus, meek and mild, of Jesus holding a little lamb. He had all these images from Sunday school, and he felt like he'd been overdosed on images of Jesus, and he wanted to put them away and just get rid of all those images so that God could reveal himself personally to him in a fresh and exciting way in prayer. So he wanted to put all that aside, but he wrote about his realization in that regard. He says, but there came a time when very solid, strong images of Jesus just kept cropping up. In prayer, I might see him walking toward me. It was the complete Sunday school picture. You know, the long hair, the flowing white robe, the sandals, the works. And I tried to resist the images. I judged them to be distractions. And to tell you the truth, they scared me. But I also sensed that somehow they were being given to me. I was somehow empowered to put up with my uninvited visitor, and he became less a distraction and more a welcome guest. You see, God will present himself to us. He will fill us with his presence. He will make his presence real to us if we will invite him. He doesn't force himself in. If we will invite him, he will come. And if we accept Christ's lordship in our life, he will little by little reveal himself to us and transform us into something that he meant when he formed our very being. Something that was created for intimate fellowship with him. We'll see changes in our life as he does that. Our passage this morning tells us something of the purpose of affirming Christ's lordship and reign in our lives. And here's the way it's in verse 10, if you want to go back and read with me. Verse 10 of chapter 1, it says, so that you may lead lives worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him as you bear fruit in every good work and as you grow in the knowledge of God. And then verse 11, he continues. It says, may you be made strong with all the strength that comes from his glorious power, and may you be prepared to endure everything with patience while joyfully giving thanks to the Father. So for our purpose in life, I think we could list among the top three maybe strength, patience, and thankfulness. We know who we are, we know whose we are, and we can be clear in our calling of what God wants us to do. The hymn, this section I keep referring to as the hymn, I think it's actually a hymn that they sang together. It's the Supremacy of Christ hymn. And in that hymn, it suggests that one of the ways that we do this, that we make Christ supreme in our life, is through worship. It's acknowledging who he is. We do that by singing hymns like we sang earlier in the service. Hymns that say, we praise you, O God, our Redeemer. Another hymn that I'm particularly fond of is Majesty. Worship his majesty. That's what we're called to do. And through our songs, I think we affirm Christ's lordship in our life. We experience the exalted Christ together in worship. And that's part of our living experience, knowing who he is and who he can be in our lives. So, what do we do? I think we are challenged by Paul to go forth in strength and patience and thankfulness. Because in Christ, all things hold together. Amen? Let's pray together. Dear Father, in this season of thanksgiving, once again we come and we thank you. Father, we don't understand. My mind cannot comprehend what people who don't know you, how do they have any purpose in their life? I just don't understand. And it further serves to challenge me to be openly thankful in places where others can hear and experience the spirit of thankfulness that I feel. Father, as we move together as a congregation, as we grow as a congregation, as we grow individually. Help us to experience the fullness of your love, which was evidenced for us, which was the redemptive power behind the cross. Father, it's in the name of the one who experienced death and resurrection to show us how to live, how to die, and how to be conquerors over death in his power. It's in his name, Jesus Christ, that we pray. Amen. This morning, I hope that you've experienced true worship and that you understand that we believe that Christ is the center of all existence. And if you're not a believer, if you've not experienced that personally, I want to challenge you this morning to come forward. Let me share with you how you can receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, where you can understand the joy that we feel as believers. I want to give you that opportunity. If you are a believer and you'd just like to come and kneel at the altar and thank God once again for all that we have, not the stuff, but the relationship that we have with him through Jesus Christ. If you want to come, the altar will be open. If you would like to come and be a part of this congregation, there are many ways that we receive new members. Be glad to share that with you. We're going to stand and we're going to sing a song, a great hymn called I Need Thee Every Hour. And I want to invite you as we get to the last verse of this hymn, I'm going to ask the instruments if they would drop out. And I want us to sing that a cappella together. I want you to really focus in on what you're singing. Matter of fact, it wouldn't hurt my feelings at all if you sat at your seat and just looked at the words and prayed the words, didn't sing them out loud. However, you need to express the fact to God that we do need him every second of every day because he's the center. He's the thing that holds everything together. Would you join me in standing and singing?
Thank you. present, help us to understand just how much you desire to be a part of who we are daily. It's in Jesus' name we can pray.
This concludes this week's podcast of our worship service. Thank you for joining us. We would love to hear from our listeners. Please send our pastor an email at raymond@collegeparkbaptist.org. That's R-A-M-O-N @collegeparkbaptist.org. Or call us at 1-336-768-5870. May the peace of the Lord be with you in the coming week.